Good evening. We're going to look at Psalm 51, and I'll read that in just a moment. But what I want us to reflect on briefly tonight is how the ashes, how this idea of setting aside time to think of Ash Wednesday, they speak not only of death, but of resurrection and life, and how they speak of repentance, but that repentance speaks of God's love for us, His invitation to find forgiveness. So let's read from Psalm 51. It's in your order of worship. You can follow along there. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good design in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've gathered us here. And we pray that we'd hear from your word, words that help us to see more clearly and to find rest in you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this past weekend, I saw two news stories about mortality. I'm sure there was probably many more about mortality, but I saw two that stood out to me. The first one was about the Oscars, and I'm sure maybe saw that there was a lot of news about the Oscars being confused about which movie was the film of the year. But the Oscars made another mistake as well that did not get as much attention because of the other one. But they showed a wrong photo during the in-memory section. You know, that section where they remember people who passed away in the film industry over the last year. Well, they put up a photo of an Australian producer instead of a costume designer. Well, the producer, you imagine, was upset and confused and assured people, "I am still very much alive. Don't worry." It must be a weird experience, right, to see a photo of yourself in a montage of people who had passed away recently. So there's that story I saw. The other story I saw is of a different nature. It was this weekend I saw a story about a Miracle Jones. Maybe you saw this, a little girl named a Miracle Jones, a five-month-old from Chicago who passed away. Her mother had been shot and killed last September in our city. And the doctors were able to save her unborn daughter. But after 5 months in the hospital, this little life passed away on February 24th. A Miracle's grandmother shared how they had been visiting and sat with that little girl every day. I share those two stories to think about how mortality is in front of us. One story, a strange and surprising reminder of what is to come. When will it be my time? Another story of what's been taken away. Violence that ends a life after 5 months and asks our city, what could have been? Who might this little girl have grown up to be? And we're being asked on Ash Wednesday to pause and reflect on human mortality and what or who comes to mind for you. What feelings enter your heart when I share such stories or remind us that this is our destiny? Ash Wednesday directs us to reflect on the truth that everything dies eventually. The best and the worst of lives come to an earthly end. Some come to an earthly end after many, many days, and others after a very short time. Great powers and empires wax and wane. Cities have their moments in the sun and then fall into disrepair. Business and organizations, right, they grow and grow, but then draw to a close. Local churches are planted, and churches also are shut down. Death and its impact cannot be avoided. And Ash Wednesday, this day, causes us to pause and to look at the reality of death. The ongoing cycle of life and death, and that through it all, the Lord remains. God remains over all. And so for the question is not whether there will be death, but how we'll understand it and how we will address it. And the ashes are meant to be a stark reminder of our humanity, of our destiny, of our mortality. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. What does this tell us? That dust tells us, right, that we are a creation, not the creator. We are the one that changes, that eventually will pass away. We are not the one that remains. Dust, the earth that we can hold in our hands, it's not a self-starter. In and of itself, it is lifeless. Therefore, dust reminds us that our vitality depends on God's gift of breath to us. And this breath is freely and graciously given, but it never belongs to us. It's never our possession or our property. Thus, if we're seeing accurately, we affirm that human persons are dependent, that we are vulnerable, and that we are precarious, relying each moment on the gracious gift of God's breath that makes life possible. Well, the dust tells us this truth, that we are dependent creatures, but the ashes also remind us that we, as long as humans have been alive, have resisted such a definition. We tell ourselves what Chad is saying might be true for others, but not for me. You know, I'm strong. I'm quick. I'm nimble. I can handle things. I know how to make my way. And even though it's irrational, we know that it's not the case, we can somehow convince ourselves that these things don't really apply to me, or at least don't apply immediately to me. We seek and we yearn for a different status, one that is not about dependence, and one that is not about vulnerability. Our first parents, and ever since then, have sought to resist such a nature, a dependent nature. But tonight, part of what we remember is that no efforts, no plans, no strategy, there is no escape from the reality that we are created in the reality of death. Now, I know for some of us, we don't need reminding of this, that we have seen it. And maybe for many of us, we feel it on a regular basis, or we mourn those that we've lost. In this case, the challenge of the ashes is not seeing and not feeling, but rather the hope that there is something more than despair, something more than mortality. And tonight, it's important for us to hear that the ashes speak of our death, but they also speak of the promise of Christ. The cross of ashes on our forehead, traced there, is not only a reminder of our condition, but it also speaks of the promise of resurrection and the one who suffered the cross. And therefore, the ashes are not simply a sign of death, but a promise that there is another word beyond our mortality, another word beyond our dependence, and it's the word of Jesus. See, there's a tension in Ash Wednesday that we are reminded of our mortality, but we're also reminded that we belong to God and of great value before God. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. But we are made in the image of God. And by God, He calls us to repentance and to life. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And these ashes not only speak of our mortality, but they speak of a call to repent. That might not immediately come to mind, but repentance is actually a call, the idea of asking for forgiveness is a call for us not only to see our limits, but to feel our deep value before God. What happens when we ask someone for forgiveness? I think about this with my children. When I encourage them or ask them to practice asking for forgiveness, what are we doing when we ask for forgiveness? We are affirming that our life is connected to someone else's life, that it matters how I act, because not just because in myself I want to do what's right, but because I'm actually connected to other people. And when I mistreat them, I'm affirming when I say I'm sorry or I repent or I ask for forgiveness, I'm affirming that relationship. And when God calls us to repent, it's a chance for us to remember that we are in relationship with God, not on our own to deal with our brokenness and sin, but that we are in relationship with God. And this is what David has in mind when he writes, "Against you, Lord, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." He's saying that the primary point in which he understands who he is, his primary reference, is his relationship with God. And that he has acted in a way that violates that relationship. He's acted in a way as if saying that he doesn't really live in relationship to God. And so David affirms that relationship and asks for forgiveness. He remembers his transgressions and his iniquity. And with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, he sets them before God. And how does God respond? With abundant mercy and steadfast love. Well, when we think about affirming that relationship, when we respond to God's invitation to be forgiven, our passage tells us that what we need is an inner rending, a rending of our hearts. The contrite heart is the path of joy. It doesn't do any good to simply tear our garments. It doesn't do any good simply to put ashes on our forehead. But rather, what God asks us, what invites us to, is that we would bring our broken hearts to Him. Not religious activities or burnt offering, David says. For repentance and affirming that relationship with God is not about checking all the boxes, but it's about bringing our broken spirits and rended hearts to God. The ashes mark us out as being in relationship. Repentance is not simply about this idea of self-hatred, but rather it's looking and seeing our envy and our despair, our lust, our fear, our anger as things that disconnect us from God, as things that are not just the way I am, but ways in which I am failing or sinning against my friends, my neighbors, my spouse, my kids. Repentance is affirming those relationships. See, sin is not just a theoretical idea, but here we see in David this idea of one crying out who is like a drowning man. The weight of his guilt and his sin, the waters bursting in at all sides, feeling the pressure of the storm, closing in on him, crying out that the waters are pressing on his soul. And he cries out, you see, "Wash me, blot out my transgressions, have mercy on me, restore me to joy of my salvation, purge me, create in me a clean heart, deliver me." These are the words of a heart that longs for something other than his sin. The contrite heart is one that knows what it is to be flooded with shame and with guilt, with seeing the effects of what I've done or what I've failed to do. Tonight, the ashes that we see that we have on our skin invite us in our reality of death to come to God in the promise of resurrection. And they also invite us to come in repentance, honestly, about our sin, finding the forgiveness of God. And maybe when we pause to reflect on these truths about ourselves, that maybe we'll see things that we have forgotten, see things that we've overlooked, remember things that we're in relationship with God and that He made us to be in relationship with one another. It's in that place that we can cry out to God that He would remember us in His tender mercies. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for who You are. And thank You that You don't leave us simply to think about death and sin, but invite us into the grace of the cross and the hope of the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.